We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Such insignificant creatures. They dare steal from Galactus. For that, I will destroy their planet.
Welcome back, everyone, to the third week of our fantastic Redemption Church Jesus Versus series. Real quick, who can name who Jesus has fought so far? In week one, he fought Thanos. In week two, he fought Uatu, the Watcher. All right. We are Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. We're having a good time sharing the Word of God, and we welcome everybody in the room and everybody watching and listening online. We love you guys. Also, if you're ever near Plano, come out and see us. So we talked to you about Thanos. We talked to you about Uatu, the Watcher. We will do no review on that today. You go check it out on the podcast if you want to know more about that. The point of this fun comic book series is to remember that God will fight for you. In fact, that's what our scripture memory verse says. You can clap for that. God will fight for you. Exodus, let's look at our scripture memory verse for this month. Exodus 14, 13 through 14. And that is not it. It is Exodus chapter 14, 13 through 14, not John. That's in the New Testament. I'll read it to you. Oh, there it is. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. How many know that's true? The Lord himself will fight for you. I don't want to be your enemy because God fights for you. Do you realize this? I don't want to be your enemy. I want to be your friend because I know who's fighting for you. Jesus has a big battle today. You saw the introductory video. Somebody help me. Who is that we're talking about today? Galactus, the devourer of worlds, right? Does he look pretty serious? I don't know. No spoiler alerts, but Galactus doesn't really get humor or jokes or anything like that. He's just down to destroy your planet. That's what he's all about. So that's what we're talking about today. Jesus versus Galactus. Who is Galactus, you say? Well, he is a cosmic entity that's like a godlike supervillain and a main antagonist in the Marvel Universe. Just how powerful is Galactus? Well, here are his abilities. Immeasurable cosmic energy. He's nearly omnipotent, can shatter planets with energy blasts. Just boom, they are exploded. He is basically immortal. He basically has immortality, said to be the oldest living entity. Comic lore says he was created at the Big Bang that created the universe. That's what Marvel says about it. Invulnerability, he's immune to disease, ailments, and toxins. Size alterations. This is what I know most about Galactus. He's big. He's huge. In fact, he can increase his size and his mass. Force fields, nearly impenetrable energy shields. You can't even shoot at the dude. He blocks it. And then I just got another list of stuff because here it is. Just hit him one by one. Molecular reconstruction. Everyone push up your nerd glasses. Matter transmutation. Teleportation. Interdimensional portals. Telepathy. Telekinesis, cosmic awareness, resurrection power, sentient life creation, soul control, manipulation, power bestowal, and even healing powers. Galactus is as big as he wants to be. Absolutely. He can grow to any size, big enough to hold entire worlds, even to hold entire galaxies. I mean, this dude is huge, all right? The smallest Galactus can become is interesting. The smallest he can become is 10 foot tall, 9 inches. 10 foot tall. Puny guy. Puny, puny. 10 foot tall cosmic deity. All right. And of course, I'm bearing the lead about Galactus, right? Because here is the major thing to know about Galactus. He eats worlds. He eats planets and everything on them, right? He is big enough and powerful enough to eat entire planets and all the inhabitants. He is therefore Galactus, the devourer of worlds. How could Jesus ever face someone like the mighty devourer of worlds, Galactus? Now, I've been excited about this sermon series for a while. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
I am telling the truth, right? Although Galactus has never appeared in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, not like in those movies, right, that are so popular right now, I think you can count on seeing him in the future. I really do. I believe that. Disney just bought the rights to all that, I think it was Fox or Sony mess, that those original Fantastic Four movies. I would be willing to almost bet you will see Mr. Galactus in the future. You call him Mr. Galactus to his face because he'll eat your house. He originally appears in what comic? Of course, I just mentioned them. The Fantastic Four, issue 48. And he has ever since been a long, reoccurring character, all right? If you've not heard of Galactus, he's been around, I'm telling you. You can't really have a Marvel universe without Galactus, the devourer of worlds. When we first contemplated the villain for this series, I knew immediately, well, we've got to preach on Galactus. Didn't I say that? I absolutely said that. And I was going to approach it in our original Storm session on this series. I was going to approach it as savior of the world versus devourer of the world. Had a good ring to it. It made a lot of sense. Many people think of God like a devourer of the world. You've made me angry, and now I'm going to come and destroy everything you've got. They view God as a mean, angry God who wants to teach everybody a lesson for not following his rules. You broke my rules. Now I'm coming to get you. All hail the mighty God of the Bible who has come to eat your soul for breakfast. Now, this is a concept many people have. If you don't have that concept, I trust you. You know someone that's got that concept of God, all right? There are even some Christians with this viewpoint of God. You've probably seen them. They hold signs. They picket soldiers' funerals for crying out loud. They really believe that God hates people. They can view God coming to devour their souls and enjoying it. They can. And these are people that call themselves Christians. Also, in this idea of savior of the world versus devourer of the world is this thing. I had to talk about this. Galactus has what he calls heralds. They're people he sends out. And the most known herald, of course, is the Silver Surfer. If you're a real nerd, you know the Silver Surfer's original name. Whoa, we got a king of nerds over here. Very good job. Norrin Rad. Look at somebody say, Brother Norrin Rad. I'm just playing around. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you are too. His real name is Norrin Rad before Galactus comes to eat his planet. And Norrin Rad says, please don't eat my planet. I kind of live here and my family's here and I got all my stuff here on this planet. Would you not eat my planet? I'll do anything you want. And so what Galactus does is, I will not eat your planet if you will serve me forever. And so then Norrin Rad becomes the Silver Surfer. He bestows that power on him to ride a cosmic surfboard. Those Stan Lee must have been on some stuff back in the... All right, it was cosmic surfboard. I love that idea, right? Norrin Rad agrees to serve Galactus as the Silver Surfer in exchange for Galactus not eating his home world called Zinlaw. As Herald of Galactus, Silver Surfer flies around the universe to search out worlds for Galactus to eat. Some people think they can barter with God in order for him not to destroy the things they love. Like, there are people right now that are going through a hardship and they're like, God, I'll serve you any way in the world if this thing won't happen. Have you ever bartered with God? We barter with God sometimes, all right? I want to tell you, you don't have to barter with God. He actually, what's the word? He loves you. He loves you. You don't have to, like, I barter with you and I will lick your shoes, God, if you will do this thing for... No, you don't have to lick God's shoes. You don't have to crawl on broken glass for God. God loves you. Do you agree with that? I'm in the right place. God loves you. There are people who come to church so that God won't become angry with them. I'm not feeling well today, but I better go to church, because if I don't go to church this week, then, you know, on Monday I'm going to have a flat tire, because, and I'll know it's because I didn't go to church on Sunday. And then, you know, and then the boss will be mad at me. And why is he going to be mad at me? Well, of course, he's going to say it's because I didn't do any work, but I'll know that it's because I didn't go to church. And they go to church to keep God not angry at them. Right? Is that a way to live? Or maybe they do this. They will do some works in order to save them from a devouring God. You know what? There are people out there that the reason they go and knock on your door and leave a pamphlet is because they think if they do not do that, God will not take them to heaven. If they do not do this amount of work, they will not get to heaven. God will devour them. There's like this Mendoza line. You got to get above that level of work or you will not go to heaven. You'll go to that other place. Now, you can look at me like that, but I'm telling you that you probably know someone like that. You have probably been like that at some point in your life, if we're all honest about it. Silver Surfer was used to find worlds worthy of Galactus's stomach. This reminded me of a twisted picture of Jesus, that an angry God sent his son in the world to judge the world worthy of destruction. All of this is easy to prove wrong, right? This is easy. You can prove all of this view wrong in one verse, so I'm going to give it to you. You know, John 3:16, go one verse further. John 3:17, read it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So if you're picturing Jesus as the Silver Surfer that he sent in saying, oh yeah, Father, they are terrible down here. Come and let them have it. That's not it. He's not come to condemn the world. He's come to, somebody say it, to save the world. Save the world. So, savior of the world versus devourer of the world. I was going to preach that, but then our care pastor, Marshall Blessing. Can we hear it for Marshall? And he encouraged me in a new direction, so here it is. Here's that new direction. Jesus versus Galactus is really an all-sufficient God versus an insufficient God. Can you say that with me? An all-sufficient God versus an insufficient God. Here is what Galactus says of himself. Of all the creatures in the vastness of the universe, there is none like me. I was present at the birth of the universe, and I shall be there at its end. Though I ravage worlds to live, I bear no malice toward any living thing. I simply do what I must to survive. So speaks Galactus. All right. So granted, there are some similarities between our Jesus and Galactus. Let's get those out of the way, right? We could talk about their power. Man, they got some power on them, those two, right? Talk about that. We could talk about their intellect and wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom in Galactus. We read about that all the time. Sometimes, even when they were fighting Thanos has this infinity gauntlet. Thank you very much. They go to Galactus and say, oh, mighty Galactus, what do you think of this? And he's like, peace, I'm out of here. We could talk about both of them being present at the birth of the universe. We could talk about that. Instead, let's talk about one thing Galactus has that God doesn't have. What? I'm going to tell. Don't get up and leave. Don't grab your stuff and leave yet. But I'm going to tell you that Galactus has something God doesn't have. Do you know what it is? Hit him with it. It's the next slide there. Hunger. Somebody say hunger. The reason Galactus devours world is because he needs to eat. Big boy gotta eat. Galactus grows hungry. He is in need of energy to sustain himself. In fact, the reason Galactus will shrink down in size is to use less energy. It's for self-preservation. Galactus is searching throughout the universe for his next meal. It's like you cruising up and down. It's like, oh my goodness, is this a Whataburger day? Or is it a Taco Bell day? Why not both? The dude has to eat, and in his own words, though I ravage worlds to live, I bear no malice toward any living thing. I simply do what I must to survive. The reason he eats what he eats, the reason he destroys what he destroys, is because he's just trying to survive. Oh, wow. So Galactus ravages worlds to live. He eats these planets and everyone on them to survive. He doesn't do this out of malice or anger, but to live another day. This reveals a major difference between the God of the Bible and Galactus, doesn't it? Oh, you bet. The God of the Bible is self-sufficient. Someone say self-sufficient. Galactus as a god is insufficient. Now, Galactus is powerful. He has many abilities. Well, there's a lot of good things that he's got going for him, right? I wouldn't want to have to fight him. But he is not self-sufficient. What does self-sufficient mean? I'm so glad you asked, Adrian. Self-sufficient means needing no outside help in satisfying one's basic needs, especially with regard to the production of food. Needing no outside help. Can I tell you something? We are not self-sufficient. Do not, the worst mistake you can make as a human being is to think that you are okay by yourself. That you've got all of this handled by yourself, that you need no outside help. That is a mistake. Can somebody say amen, amen on that one? Right now, you know people in your life that are in need of help and they won't let you help. And it is some of the most frustrating stuff you'll ever go through. Am I right? Yeah, absolutely. A lesson for us. We are not self-sufficient. The human body can't go very far without water. In the best of conditions, a human can go 7 days without water. We're talking perfect conditions. Perfect human conditions and perfect environmental conditions. But most average humans in average conditions make it for about 3 days without high-quality H2O. Water boy voice. Adam Sandler, there you go. The human body can go longer without food. Without water, with water intake, but no food, and in good conditions, the human body can go upwards of 60 days without food. Sounds terrible. Sounds miserable to me. Who wants to go eat after this? Let's do it. But the average human in average conditions is going to have trouble after about 20 days, especially nearing that 30 days, they are going to have a difficult time. Without food, we can't operate. Without water, we cannot operate. Symptoms include extreme weight loss, fatigue, weakness, dizziness, seizures, irregular heartbeat, low blood pressure, dehydration, brittle bones. We need an external source to satisfy us. We need an external source to satisfy us. Why? Because we are insufficient. We are insufficient. Men and women need to eat. Animals and plants need to eat. Galactus needs to eat. So naturally, we conclude that God, the God of the Bible, he probably needs to eat too. Warning, the following image is disturbing. I was able to see this 19th century painting in person at the Dallas Museum of Art. Thank you, Dad, for getting me some culture, getting me out of the house and going to the Dallas Museum of Art. I knew as soon as I saw this picture that I would preach on it one day. It is Saturn Devours His Son by Francisco Goya. It's a 19th century painting. It's very stark. It's painted on black. This classical painting features a Greek mythological titan named Cronus, also known as Saturn. And he is a disheveled-looking man who is horrifyingly devouring a smaller man. And yeah, there's a little blood, and it's gross. For you on listening online, you can go find this on Google. Just look up Saturn Devours His Son. This man that he's eating is his own son. The story goes like this. Saturn, fearing that he would one day be overthrown by one of his children, ate each of his children upon their birth. there are actually many religious gods who devour people. Many religions reference a devourer. Well-known religions like Egyptian, Greek, Norse, Shinto, and more believe in a devouring god. Saturn devoured his sons out of self-preservation. There's that word showing up again. He wanted to make sure that no one overthrew his rule. So let's talk about a god who devours. I found this internet gold. It is a version of Goya's painting, and it features who?
Galactus.
It features Galactus. You know, sometimes you just look on the internet and you just know God's will is for you to preach on Galactus. There it is. Look at, I just thought that was just wild, right? Many people wrongly conclude that the God of the Bible is a God who devours. They think the following: God wants to eat us, perhaps to teach us a lesson. God needs your money. He needs it. Give me your money, God says. Why? Well, you just have to give in the offering because God's running short this month. God's a little short this month. And I've heard people actually in churches kind of make that claim. You know, if you really love God, you know you're going to help God out. God needs your help, and he needs, do not ever say he need. We have never said those words over here. We say the word thank you for giving and that you're giving to God, but never need, right? How about this one? God needs your abilities and talents. He can't just manage on his own. He needs you. Got to have you. How about this one? God needs your faith. He will somehow stop existing if you stop believing. Don't Stop Believing is his favorite song by Journey, right? Like, there's this movie called Elf, and Santa Claus can't operate at the end because people stop believing in Santa Claus, and you need Will Ferrell dancing around and people singing Santa Claus tunes in order for his sleigh to work at the end. You following this? I know it's a deep theological thought here, but that is God needing your faith. God who devours. I like this one. God needs our worship and devotion. Come on, church. God needs you to worship. Y'all better stand up, clap your hands, sing a little louder, Leroy, because God needs to hear your worship. He needs to know that he's not a failure and that he's loved by you. He doesn't know these things. So you found the one thing God doesn't know. Somehow God feels bad about himself this week. He's had a tough time this week. He needs somebody to sing good things about him. He's suffering from depression this week. So God's just eating up all your worship. So I was thinking about this week. Does anybody remember WWF? It's now called WWE. I'm talking about wrestling. I just remember as a kid, you had Hulk Hogan or somebody like Hulk Hogan did this all the time. Hulk Hogan's wrestling out there and he's in trouble. Somebody's got him in a hold and he's about to go under. But then Hulk, he's going down. But then he looks out at that crowd. And the crowd starts going, Hulk, Hulk, Hulk. And he's, y'all seen this? Am I the only one that knows it? And it's like, the power of the crowd is willing him on. And then he just, and he knocks him to the ground. And he's like, And it was the crowd that did it. It was their worship and devotion, brother. Nobody sees this. I'm the only one. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. Y'all know this. But that's somehow people think that about our God. God's just like, the devil's just really got me down. You had to sing that chorus one more time. I love Chris Tomlin tune. Sing it louder, church. Yeah. How great is our God? They're singing about me. Now I feel good about myself. Now I'm ready to conquer the world. Now I'm going to save people. I wasn't going to do that later. I was just going to take it easy today. But now I'm feeling... That's a devouring God that he needs this external thing that you can give him. Can I tell you, everything we do for God is not on his meal ticket. It's not caloric intake for him. It is not something that he needs. Doesn't mean you should stop doing it, but that's for another sermon. God is not a devourer. Here is what he is. He is a sustainer. Somebody say he's a sustainer. Yeah, not a devourer, but a sustainer. Can I tell you, God sustains himself. Let's start here. God sustains himself. God, his tank is not running on empty. He sustains himself. This is such a powerful verse. Acts 17 is a powerful chapter. It's Paul preaching at Mars Hill, verse 24 through 25. He says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Life and breath and everything else. You listen real quick. You came to church needing life, needing breath, needing everything else. He's the one that provides it. You're going to get it today because he is the God who sustains. Now, I just love this. It's not human hands that he needs. It's not temples built by human hands as if he needed anything. Can I tell you, God doesn't need anything. Doesn't mean he doesn't desire your worship. Doesn't mean he doesn't desire your heart. It doesn't mean he doesn't desire your affection, but he doesn't need it. John 5, 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." The Father has life where? Jesus has life where? In himself. Does this mean that the Father's not looking over here to find life? That Jesus is not over here looking to find life, because life is already present. It is in himself. God is not hungry. God is not lacking funds. God is not short on strength. He has life already in himself. God doesn't need. We're the ones who need. And so we ought to go to God, right? Y'all follow me? God does not need an external source to sustain him. God is self-sufficient. God is self-sustaining, and he is self-existent. The comic book tells us Galactus was created at the start of the universe, simultaneous with the Big Bang. Boom. Then suddenly Galactus existed along with the universe. But God is self-existent and uncreated. No Big Bang created God. Instead, God spoke and bang, everything happened. That's how that works. That is to say that God exists without ever being created. He is uncreated. Say uncreated. No one created God. He just has always existed by his own power, by his own authority, and by his own word. Romans 11:36. "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." I want you to get this, all right? From him, say it. From him. Through him. For him are all things. That's what he does. Here's what you do. To him be glory forever. Amen. Your part is to give God glory. He does everything else. For him, through him, for him. All right, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. "For in him," speaking of Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus Christ is before everything. So if Galactus starts at a Big Bang, sorry, Galactus, Jesus was already here when you arrived. You get this picture? Whatever God you've got out there, whatever God you want to believe in, Jesus existed before that God existed. He is before all things. I think all things means all things, don't you think? And not only that, it says that he holds all things together. He holds everything together. I love that. God sustains himself. Look at this. God sustains us. Galactus only seeks to sustain itself, but our God sustains us. Galactus is only interested in self-preservation, but our God preserves us. Psalm 54 and 4 says this: surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Matthew 5 and 6 says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you are hungry for God, if you're hungry for the right things of God, he will fill you. Why? Because he is a sustainer. God is not a devourer, but a sustainer. He is not a devourer, but he rebukes the devourer. Malachi chapter 3, verses 11, God says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Somebody say, bad news, Galactus.
Bad news.
You're rebuked by God. Whatever's trying to devour you, God rebukes. If you've got things, it talks about little things just eating up your fields, eating up your finances, eating up your peace, eating up your health. You need to let God rebuke those things. You need to turn all those things over to God. There are these little things that come along that want to eat you alive. It says that God rebukes the devourer. Whenever you sense that happen, you need to just say, it is written that God rebukes the devourer. I'm going to have increase in my life. I'm going to have healing in my life. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's going to sustain me through all of this in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, if you've been going through that, you need to say that to the Lord tonight, all right? Galactus, you can't even sustain yourself. The self-sustaining God sustains me. Galactus, you can't even preserve yourself, bro. The God of all power preserves me. Galactus, you can't preserve yourself. The ever-living God gives me eternal life. He is self-sufficient, and I am sufficient in him. Galactus, you are insufficient. The Lord rebukes your devouring ways, Galactus. Any God who needs things to survive is not the true God. Tell you what, that's why, you know, don't let little things shake your belief in God. Right? Talking on a microphone and suddenly the microphone stops working. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Talk louder, that's what you got to do. It's not a big deal. This thing doesn't stop. It would be crazy to say this thing, this microphone in my hand, stopping working means God is no longer around. Well, guess what? The same thing is true about your car when it breaks down. The same thing is true about the bill that comes in. That bill doesn't mean that God's not on his throne. That's a thing. The argument in that relationship doesn't mean that God's still not ready to meet all of your needs. That's a thing. And the Lord doesn't need things. So when things come along, don't let the things testify to you about God. Let God testify to you about the things. Is that all right? Are you with me? Galactus is insufficient and Jesus is all sufficient. Praise God. These two phrases elicit different responses. Here's the first phrase. Galactus is coming. Uatu, the Watcher, the first time he appears to the Fantastic Four, he tells them, Galactus is coming. In the comics, that's the worst news. You did not want to see Galactus approaching your planet. You did not want to see his herald, the Silver Surfer. It elicited a negative thing, this devouring God. But this phrase, Jesus is coming.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That's a joyful phrase.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says we should encourage one another with the news that Jesus is returning.
Amen.
I want to tell you that the God that is coming into your life is not one who's come to beat you down, to destroy you. The God that's coming into your life is a sustainer. He's a healer. He's a life giver. He's patient and he's merciful and he's graceful and he's abounding in love. You ought to be thinking more often that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is on his way. You're worried about little things in your life. You need to testify over those things. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Cancer report. I testify to the cancer report that Jesus is coming into the middle of the sickness. And he doesn't just stand in the middle of sickness without bringing healing. And you've got death. Sometimes you one of our members here, Brady, I'm so sorry. Brady, I found out today, suddenly his father passed away about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Please keep that family in your prayers. But my word to Brady right now is that your father is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And you've got a brand new reason to look for the coming of Jesus, because Jesus has got your dad in this hand, you in this hand, and he's going to bring you both together one day. You have to go to funerals sometimes, guys, and it stinks, but the word ought to testify in you that Jesus Christ is coming. He is on his way. We're about to talk to God in this place. I want you to get ready to talk to a God who sustains us, but I have one more comparison I have to make, and I want you to be with me on it. You ready? Galactus is big in the comics. But God is bigger, right? We've talked about that. Galactus is big enough to eat a galaxy, but God fills the entire universe and beyond the universe. We can't even fathom that. But here is something Galactus doesn't value. What I'm about to tell you, he doesn't value it at all. But it means everything to you and me. The next thing I'm about to say to you doesn't even make sense to Galactus. He would laugh at it. Here it is. God is smaller than Galactus. Say that sentence with me. God is smaller than Galactus. Galactus takes great pride on his size. Galactus is known for his arrogance. You heard in that intro video, it goes, insignificant humans, right? He constantly says things like that. He refers to people as puny mortals, right? He will even ask these puny mortals for help, but the entire time insult them because of their size. He views mankind the same way you would view a bug. That's how he views us. Galactus only becomes small in size as a way of what? Self-preservation. If he were here and now and you tried to dialogue with him at his smallest, he would tower over every one of us. I told you the smallest he can get is 10'9". That's taller than any NBA player ever. That's like maybe taller than Goliath even. Goliath is about that size, but oh my goodness, we don't know for sure. He could never understand what God did for us when God became small. He could never see the value in that. The God who fills the universe, he became a small baby. The God of the universe, he became a small embryo. The God of the universe, come on, let's see this picture. You're taking it off at the wrong time. I'm not on that verse yet. Preach with me, man. This is called a zygote. Look at that. At the fertilization of an egg, the first cells to multiply are called a zygote. I want to tell you that in the incarnation, when God came to become human, he was that tiny. You could not see him with the naked eye. You would have to get a very strong microscope to see how small the God of the universe became. God is smaller than Galactus. Philippians 2:7, let's see it. I love this verse. Rather, he made himself nothing. We're talking talking about God. God who is everything. It said he holds all things together. What does God make himself? Somebody say those words. He makes himself nothing. In the Greek, it says that he empties himself of all his glory, becoming nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness. God stepped off his throne of the entire universe and stepped into the smallness of you and me. He was born and walked among us as a man so that this great big God could stand and have a face-to-face relationship with you and me. Not to tower over us. Not to intimidate us. Not to ridicule us. But to have a face-to-face encounter with us. He became nothing for you and me. It is by becoming small that Jesus redeems us. When you think of God, do you think of a Galactus or do you think of a zygote? You may have a problem in your life today, and you would never take your problem to Galactus. People would bring problems to Galactus in comics and be like, "Why are you bothering me? Be gone. So speaks Galactus." You would never bring your problems to a God like Galactus. He wouldn't care about your small problem. But Jesus is a big God who cares about the small things. You can bring every problem you have to Jesus Christ, and he'll serve you in it. Isn't he so much better than Galactus? Yes. Who wants to come talk to a God today that cares for you like that? Who wants to come talk to a God today who will sustain us, provide for us? Who wants to talk to a God who values you so much that he would leave heaven, become nothing, so that he could look you in the eyes and say, "I love you"? He's not a devourer. He is life. And he gives life. If you want to come to talk to God, you go ahead and come. I want to encourage somebody today. If you are in a situation where you need a miracle, if you've got a need that you want someone to pray with you, I want you to come in the first 2 feet of this stage right now. We want to pray with you. I believe that we have a God who is in this room right now. And it doesn't matter what your problem is, he wants to hear it. He wants to cast all your cares on him. He wants to answer all your problems. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody listening, watching online. Lord, let them feel your presence right now. Friend, call on God. Wherever you are, he cares about you. He will make himself nothing in order to give you everything. That's what he thinks about you, friend. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every person in this house. Let every person come in contact, God, with your goodness. Let every person, God, realize, God, that you're not a devouring God. You're not a God who towers over us in power and towers over us in violent behavior, but you're a God who actually takes on the cross, who takes on sickness, who takes on fear, who takes on violence all for us. You became nothing for us, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we call on you. I thank you, God, for your goodness, God. Lord, whatever miracle someone needs right now, I call on you. Let them find that miracle. Let them find provision. Let them find everything they need in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be praying for some people. If you want God to do things in your life, you come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. But Lord, over the next few minutes, let's reach out to the Lord. Let's talk to God in this house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sins, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.